Folks, an understanding. A huge event happened on Monday, and that was the UNSC, or the United Nations Security Council, passed a resolution. And this resolution calls for an immediate ceasefire of Israel in the Gaza Strip. The next thing it said was, and a release of the hostages. The problem was the two are not connected. What it's stating and is understood, that what it's saying is a ceasefire first, then we'll talk about the hostages. And that's the way everyone's reading it, including the warring faction Hamas within the Gaza Strip. So what they did is they pulled back all negotiations forever releasing the hostages until Israel completes the ceasefire. And also, Hamas is stating that they must withdraw. Israel's armed forces must withdraw out of the Gaza Strip, everything, and they have to return it all back again to Hamas. Then they'll talk about releasing the hostages. Israel is understandably so really quite upset, and so in its rebellion, and understandably, again, it told America and the rest of the world that all as you did was has made it almost impossible for us to get the hostages out unless we continue with the war. That's Israel's decision. And Israel's sticking with it, and I've given it a couple of days to watch that. And again, why I didn't mention this on Monday, I wanted to play it out. With all this understanding, where is this seen in Scripture, or could it even be seen in Scripture? Well, yes, it can. I'm going to go into some light detail, but I'll make it simple as I possibly can. But it should make sense, but we're going to have to use Scripture to get there. All right, welcome all of you to this channel. I've noticed from the last video that we had quite a few that were really confused over some of the most simplest parts of Scripture that I went over in Revelation 12 and 13. And that is who is the woman, and the man-child versus the child being born, that was a question. Go back over that video, folks, if some of you are new here. The only reason I was somewhat taken back is because I'm very used to the people that come here that have understood this. And then it just dawned on me, well, there's quite a few new people that have recently shown up. So if you have your questions, bring them to me. I'll do my best to be able to answer them, but I'm sticking with what it is that I said. Now, the major confusion in this was, Ross, can you please tell me the sequence of events and how it's going to take place? Well, Revelation 12, 13, Zechariah, we have Matthew, we have Psalms 83, Daniel 9, all of that, when understood, actually does lay out a sequence of events. First and foremost, at a given point, the rapture is going to happen. Then after the rapture, and will be this, what we're seeing is a war. And that war, it's not a war as much as it is an action of God, Psalms 83. All right, so God steps in and he takes all the surrounding enemies away from Israel. It's important to understand that so Israel can build their temple and begin sacrificing. And that's the first 3.5 years. So what you have then, let's do this again, you have the rapture at a given time, and that's what we're studying mostly. We don't know the day or the hour, but that's what we're studying. And so rapture, then this clearing of the enemies is going to happen. Once this is all said and done, the dust, of course, will settle. And then we have a need for someone to show up and keep order within the world. And that's where Satan gives his power to the son of perdition. So this person shows up in the UN. That part's my conjecture. I don't know where he shows up. Doesn't say in Scripture. But I'm believing now and understanding he will show up with great authority and great power given to him by Satan, and no one will be able to war against him. That's Scripture. So what he's going to do is he's going to say Israel will give a 7-year period that they'll be able to then build their temple. And he's going to enforce that. So the son of perdition enforces a covenant with many for 7 years, Daniel 9:27. Okay, so then we have the son of perdition show up. Israel goes for 3.5 years, which I explained is the first half, Revelation 13, Revelation 12. And then Satan, and people get mixed up here, the war in heaven. Understand, Revelation 12, go right down to where it says war in heaven, and understand that Satan and all of his are detained. Okay, they're restricted. They're held into one position, restrained. The restrainer, Michael, restrains Satan from coming back down to the earth for 3.5 years. What for? To fulfill part of that covenant. We know the covenant's broken in the middle because that's when God finally says, your time is up. Let Satan and his angels go. They go back down to the earth again. And that's where they enter the temple and desecrate it. All right, there's your sequence of events right there. I hope that was helpful to you. Now, if you go back again and you read that and you study that, I think you'll find that makes the most complete and best explanation of Revelation 12 and 13. Remember, Revelation 12 and 13 starts out with a child being born. Okay, that child being born, first of all, the man-child was our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, the one to rule with a rod, a sword of iron. Right? Then you have, and then the child got caught up, or harpazoed. So that makes a completion then of the body of Christ, which is now, then, after the rapture, up in heaven. For 7 years, they're in heaven, and then they return with Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. Those that are raptured return with him, and then they govern the world for 1,000 years underneath the reign of the man-child, our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, that should pretty much summarize, kind of group together what it was that I've been saying and what it is that I understand and what it is that I do here. Again, eschatology being understood as a study, but it cannot come to conclusions accurately unless a certain event happens. And then we can go, ha-ha, there it is in Scripture. And it'll be revealed to us. So even though we've been doing this for years, and we thought something was going to happen, but it didn't happen, and that's because it wasn't time yet, but as we get closer to the time, things will happen, just follow me here, that we can see where we are within Scripture. So if God set out a timeline, as events happen, he reveals where he is in this timeline. And the timeline, which I just described just a few minutes ago, starts with the rapture. And that's what most people are interested in. So events taking place all the way back around to when I first started now. Okay, and that is, very simply put, a huge event. A Bible prophecy being fulfilled happened on Monday, and that's where I want to go today. And I'm going to do that right now by going right into Zechariah, and we'll use my trusty little visualizer tool that I've got here. And I want you to see three verses in specific and to try to understand them. Now, Zechariah, again, starts out with the Lord fulfilling a promise right here of an action taking place. So I have up here in my notes as a study so we can understand it. 1-9, Israel's attacked and delivered. In many examples, I gave it in the last 3 or 4 videos, we understand that. So this time, when the Lord, when God decides it's time, that's the action seen in Psalms 83. And that's the deliverance of the enemies within Israel. So where are we? Let's keep going down here. And it says, behold, I'll make Jerusalem a cup of trembling. Well, what do you want to call Jerusalem today? What do you want to call Israel today, right now? Is it in trouble? Unto the people round about, Psalms 83, the eliminations of those around about Israel. When they shall be in siege both against, this is Israel, but he's talking about the tribes here, coming together. And it's going down here. Now, pay attention, please. Now, this begins here with other understanding, Psalm 83, that an action happens in one day. As we went back again, and if we were to, this Lord's promise right here is actually really a time that Psalms 83 has made it very, very understandable. And again, those surrounding enemies. Let's go back down here to this. Okay. So now, in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut to pieces. Though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. That's kind of a big, tall order, wouldn't you think? All the people, okay, let's go back again, that burden themselves, all the people that burden themselves be cut into pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered against it. All those that burden themselves come against it. So if you understand what just took place now in the UN Security Council, America just proved to me beyond any shadow of understanding, I don't doubt this at all, America is now, by sustaining and not vetoing that resolution of the ceasefire, actually became a big burden to Israel. And Israel's responding with, we're still going to continue with the war in Gaza Strip against Hamas terrorists until we eliminate them. A war is to continue. Let me make something very clear to me in my understanding is that Israel's not going to lose. Israel may have had to go to war, but it doesn't have to win it, because Scripture tells us God wins the war for Israel. Please play that out in your thinking. Israel is ready to continue in the Gaza Strip, the lower part of the Gaza Strip, in a place called Rafah, where the remaining Hamas terrorists are held along with the hostages. Israel said they're not going to stop until they get the hostages. But God said, through Scripture, following the prophets and what they told us, they said that there will be a time coming, Asa, where God will do unto them. And then he goes on to explain here. And now let's get on to the other part of what's happening is Hezbollah. And supposedly has over 130,000 guided missiles that could destroy Israel if they start launching them by the hundreds. Israel won't be able to defend itself. That's way too many. So that kind of made me a little bit curious. I'm not saying this is what's going to happen, but there is obviously going to be a start of a war someplace that God will step in. How do we know that? I want to go back down here, right here. And in that day, the Lord, saith the Lord, I will smite the horses. Now continue this is to be an understanding that back in the day, when there was a war taking place, the warriors on horses would enter into the town, city, would gather together and siege against somebody or something. And we'll smite every horse with astonishment, the missiles coming out of Hezbollah. They're not going to go where they want them to. And his rider with madness, that's those behind that attack, that siege. And I will open up mine eyes upon the house of Judah, a split in the 12 tribes, and will smite every horse of the people within blindness. This includes what we see today is Jordan and southern Israel and parts of the West Bank, and also, believe it or not, part of Gaza. That's what the old Judah used to be. All right, let's keep on going. Back again to where this prophecy being fulfilled. I want you to understand this, please. America has just widened the gap between the two nations, the United States and Israel. And America has said that we're no longer in support of you going into Rafah. We don't want you to do that. And they claim humanitarian problems, the starvation of people, and the possibility of the casualties of all the Palestinians within the Gaza Strip. And that's their complaint. They're saying, oh no, we think that you should possibly go in and go for your hostages, and we'll even try to help you, but you can't harm anybody and you have to feed everyone or allow the food to come in to feed them. And that's what they're saying. Well, America has stuck with that. And we even have our vice president here in the United States that says if Israel should go into Rafah, there will be consequences. There will be consequences for their action going into Rafah. Now, our vice president didn't say what those consequences would be, but it's being made very noted that America, we are no longer with you, Israel, when you go into this war. Remember, a war is going to happen where God will defend Israel. Israel now has made its claim it's going to go into Rafah with and continue this war. It's kind of repeating myself, but just try to keep playing this out because here it comes. A prophecy fulfilled. I want to go back right here to number 3. And it says right here. All those, all that burden themselves with it shall be cut into pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered against it. Okay, well, America wasn't against Israel. But now they are. This is a prophecy that has just been fulfilled. It was fulfilled on Monday. And like I said, I waited to get the rest of the information to see exactly how Israel is going to respond to it. Now you can say anything about all the stuff that's going on in regards to the eclipse that's about ready to happen in America. Okay. You can talk about the heifers that are being sacrificed. Okay. That's not a problem. And you can even add dates to the idea that we're coming upon our celebration of Easter here in the United States, a Christian holiday. And you can take all of those and you can try to put them into a place within Scripture and say maybe the rapture could happen then. Okay. Or maybe something great and big could happen to America. Okay. That's fine. I don't have any problem with that. You can even put a rapture date on any of those if you want. But that isn't what Scripture tells me. And remember, I stick with Scripture. I don't know the day nor the hour. But I know what the prophets are saying. And what I'm doing is, as we go on, I'm seeing more prophecies being fulfilled. Exactly what I said earlier in the video. I said, as this unfolds, this unravels, all of a sudden, any news that is new, name of my channel, New News, any news that is new as it pertains to Bible prophecy of end times seen through the lens of Scripture. That's what I do. That's what I try to bring to you. And again, you don't ever, ever take my word for it. Remember, we're coming up on celebrating our Heavenly Father's ascension into heaven. And when he was headed up into heaven, the disciples asked him, "Who will be our teacher?" And he says, I'm going to send you a gift for all of those that believe in what I have done. All those that believe in the free gift of the gospel, you believe Jesus as your Savior, and you understand, you will be given the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is your teacher. It's not me. It's not anyone else. Where you get your wisdom, knowledge, and understanding from is a free gift to you if you should ask and pray for it. The Scripture tells us that you get this free gift of understanding, wisdom, and knowledge just by asking for it. If you believe Jesus is your Savior and you ask for wisdom and knowledge, Scripture tells us it's given to you without rebuke. The way you're going to be able to understand it is to read Scripture and pull out of it what it is that was meant for us to understand when it was meant to be understood. And that's what I brought to you today, that what has started, God will finish. Know that. And we're at the very beginning of what I would think would be the timing of our Heavenly Father to step in. Not my conjecture. That's from Scripture. And I just pointed that out. I hope that was helpful to you folks. Until Sunday. All right. Sounds good. And I just, you know, with the sacrificing, okay, whatever you want to say about that, that is something that is needed. It will happen. I have quite a few comments on that. That's why I just thought again to mention that. And I totally get it. But Israel's non-believers in Jesus are required to sacrifice. A temple has to be built, and it has to be in under God's specific rules and ways. But that's not going to happen until that land has been cleared, that Israel can build a temple. Now the things, implements, and necessary, whatever is needed, that can be part of the sacrificing. But remember, the sacrificing is after the church is gone. Because the church doesn't need to sacrifice anymore. Jesus was their sacrifice. All the Jews don't have ability to be able to be forgiven, so they do not believe God's Son and His works. So they need to be forgiven somehow. Purpose. So follow through if you want. Again, you've got an eclipse coming. You've got a Christian holiday coming up. You have this whole thing about the cows being sacrificed. All that's coming up. Okay, I understand it. But I stuck with Scripture and what the prophets told us. And so those have been my responses to a lot of you when you've had the questions about the cows and things like that, the heifers. Okay, folks, until next Sunday, I hope this was helpful to you, brings you back around again. Please do not doubt what is taking place. It's in Scripture. It's not me. I'll let you decide. You don't take my word for it. Read the Scripture and ask for understanding through the gift of the Holy Spirit and pray that in Jesus' name. And I pray that for you, all of you. Amen. Okay, till Sunday. All right.